And I also am aware of God's grace, that by his grace there has also been the use of this same tongue, which is like the thrust of the sword at times. There have been times also when the Lord has used that tongue to bring healing. And I'm reminded of the conclusion of the passage which we read in James. Should these things be this way? Well, obviously, I think our speech reveals the heart. But I want to remind you of something as we think about the power of speech. That the Lord has created all things by the word of his mouth. God spoke and brought it into existence. Things that were not became things that are. And then we are reminded also that God is committed to the preaching of the word, the restoration of the world, and the reconciliation of the world to the work of Christ, who is the living word. And those things together, God's creation and his recreation in Christ being tied to the word, ought to tell you about the importance of speech and the power of speech. But as the portion in James tells us, the tongue is a powerful instrument, but it is a powerful instrument either for good or for evil, depending upon which direction the governor takes it and what the intention of the governor is. The rider of the horse can use the horse for great things, or he can use that same horse for wicked things. The pilot of a ship can use that ship for works of mercy and of goodness and kindness, or the governor or the pilot of that ship can be a pirate and use it for taking what doesn't belong to him. But nonetheless, in both of those actions, in both sides of that, you can see the power of the tongue. But speech is an area that demands the careful attention of every believer, because speech is that which proceeds out of the heart and reveals the heart. And I want you to look at this passage with me this evening and keep in mind some of the things that we spoke of this morning, that God's commandment is that we shall not bear false witness against our neighbor. But also we can see in this passage, as it were, something more along that line that is indeed encompassed in that commandment. And that is that the tongue and the way we use it can be harmful or it can be healing. First thing I want to point out to you from this 18th verse, as well as the 25th, but primarily the 18th verse as we begin, and that is that God wants you to avoid every form of sinful speech. I mean, obviously, as he speaks here, and he's not just pointing out different things, he's not pointing out that, well, this is just the way things are, but I think he warns us there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of the sword, and on the other hand, the tongue of the wise brings healing, because he wants us to be wise. The whole thrust of the book of Proverbs is that we might be wise, that we might be Christ-like, that indeed we might hear the correction of the Lord and be wise sons and receive it. And so as we read this verse, you get the idea and you understand that God wants you to avoid every form of sinful speech. And in order to do so, there are several things that we must do. First of all, as you look at this verse, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of the sword. And I want you, first of all, to consider the real possibility of rash speech. I don't care. Now, you may be totally different than I. I am not one that is... Maybe I shouldn't say that, because in many ways God has given me a temper. But I'm not one that is, shall we say, real easygoing and laid back. Let me put it that way. I am in some things, but not in my speech. I don't believe that I am, and my family, I think, would say a loud amen to that, that my speech can be rather fiery. But I don't care whether you're real easygoing or not. There's the possibility of rash speech. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword. Now, when you look at that, I think you can say, well, first of all, yeah, we can recognize the real possibility of rash speech, because we can recognize the potential for rash speak among men. Rash speech among men. And it's not too hard to think about. We were at Presbytery meeting yesterday, and I think there were all kinds of opportunity for rash speech yesterday. I think the Lord guarded Presbytery. I think it was really quite good. But I've been at Presbytery meetings before where rash speech was quite evident. I've been the recipient of rash speech, and so have you. So you recognize right off the bat that there's the potential for rash speech among men. But I don't think that's what is being spoken of here. We can look at it in others. But when it says there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of the sword, as we consider the real possibility of rash speech, we're to understand and acknowledge our own proneness to rash speech. There's one who speaks rashly like the thrust of the sword. You are prone to that as well as I. And I think it's good also to recall specific instances of rash speech. We all have the tendency to generalize. And we don't want to generalize the Word of God. What we want to do is we want to particularize. And so as we think of these things, and if you want to really apply this word, I would have you to go back and to remind yourself of rash speech that was directed at you. And remember what it did to you. Because, you know, I think as we all go back, we can recall those times. And I'm not talking about holding a grudge here, and I certainly don't want you to hold grudges against any who have responded to you. But I just want you to remember, I want you to remind yourself of those times when you've been on the receiving end of speech that has been not cutting in the good sense, but cutting in the bad sense, like the thrusts of a sword. But then also remind yourself of the rash speech which has proceeded from you. One of the things that just plagues me every time I come to this portion, and I read through the Proverbs every month, every time that I come to this portion, you know what I think about? I think about the latest instance of my speech toward my children that has been rash and short and curt. And it doesn't take me any time at all to recognize when I read this verse that there is indeed one who speaks rashly like the thrust of the sword, and he's standing behind the pulpit. And he's probably sitting in the pews too. So consider the real possibility of rash speech. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword. And then, if you're going to avoid it also, you need to identify the components of rash speech. What is it that goes into making speech rash? You know, you can speak the same words in a gentle manner or a harsh manner. And I've used the illustration before. The way we say things is very important, as well as what we say. Just by saying my wife's name, I can convey different meanings. I won't do it here, but there are lots of things that I could convey just by saying her name and by the inflection of my speech. For instance, bunny. Now that conveys something, doesn't it? Bunny. That conveys something too, doesn't it? And just the way we say a name. So identify the components of rash speech. What is it that goes into it? Well, there are several things that lie beyond the surface of just of our speech, but your speech is rash when it is thoughtless. When it's thoughtless. And we're going to be looking at various portions, mostly in Proverbs, because this is, I said this morning, is a recurrent theme. But turn to the 15th chapter of Proverbs in the 28th verse. Notice what it says here. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. And I think what that's telling us is if we want to avoid rash speech that is cutting like the thrusts of a sword, we need to be thoughtful. We need to think before we speak. You remember that old line, and my parents gave it to me, and I didn't pay much attention to it back then, but they said, when you're angry, before you speak, count to 10. Well, there's a better solution. Before you speak, start quoting some scripture to yourself. Like there's one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Now you could probably count to 10 the same amount, but the first is probably more edifying. But I think we speak rashly when we're thoughtless. Because the wise man considers how to answer. Now, there are several reasons why our thoughtless speech may be rash and why it may be thoughtless. It may be rash or thoughtless because we've really neglected to listen and to hear what was really being said to us when we respond to something. Sometimes we respond rashly. This afternoon, I don't think there was any rash speech involved with it, but just to show you how different things can happen. Bunny said something to me, and I thought she said, I'm feeling hot. Okay? And I said, well, that's understandable. You know, 95 degrees outside and different things like that. And I was a little bit concerned. And I asked her if she had, and I carried on this long conversation. And then after a while, she said something to me. And she said, I don't know what happened. I asked something because I was asking why she was feeling hot. And she said, no, I didn't say I was hot. I said, I'm not feeling too hot. And there's a totally different meaning in that. And we can respond, we can misunderstand, we can be thoughtless in our speech because we've neglected to listen. There's a proverb about that too, and I've read that to you before, but this is always a good one. I really like this because it gets right to me. Proverbs 18 and verse 13. He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him. You have to be careful to listen, because if you don't, your speech is going to be thoughtless and it could be rash. But it also may be thoughtless because you've jumped to conclusions. And that goes right along with the other. Look at Proverbs 13 and verse 10. Through presumption comes nothing but strife, but with those who receive counsel is wisdom. And presumption I'm taking here to mean you're just assuming things that may not be so. And, you know, there's a lot of trouble. We can have our speech be thoughtless when we think we know what we're talking about when we really don't. So identify the components of rash speech. First of all, be thoughtful. Consider how to answer. But your speech also is rash when it is belligerent. And I think that's fairly obvious. Look over here, and there are several portions that we want to look at. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. And then back to chapter 15 and verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. One more chapter. 16 and verse 27. A worthless man digs up evil while his words are as a scorching fire. Now what this is an attitude of heart where you're just looking for a fight. You're itching for a fight. And one of the things that I can tell, and that happens to us. And you know it happens to you. There are times, particularly when you aren't, when your walk with the Lord is not what it ought to be, when you just look for things to be wrong. And when you're looking for things to be wrong, it doesn't take you long to find them. But the trouble is, when you're on that kind of a razor edge, the usual result is when you find something wrong, your speech is going to be like the thrust of a sword. Because when your speech is belligerent, when you're looking for something wrong, when you're looking for a fight, you're going to fall into rash speech. So what do I do? And not what do I do, don't do what I do. What should I do? Well, I can always tell when my walk is out of accord, when I'm looking for things that are wrong. Because that's the indication, because love covers a multitude of sin. And when that happens, I'm telling you, I fall into this trap of this rash and thoughtless speech. Your speech is rash also when it is in error. Chapter 15 and verse 7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not soul. In other words, frequently our speech can be rash and can be harmful when we speak what we don't know about, when it isn't rooted in the Word of God, when we are speaking of our own opinions and presenting them as absolute truth. Our speech can be harmful. It can be rash speech, because the wise man always bases his speech in the truth. was reading the Chalcedon Report this afternoon, and I believe it was one of the articles by John Lofton, and he was talking about the one opportunity that he had to speak with Cornelius Van Til, a professor of apologetics at Westminster Seminary, who died back in the, I believe it was back in the 70s that he went to be with the Lord. John Lofton was speaking about Cornelius Van Til and how every question that he asked him, or that John Lofton asked him, Dr. Van Til responded with a sentence that contained a quote from the Word of God. And every time they entered into this conversation, it was a rather lengthy conversation, they spent the day together, Cornelius Van Til never got away from responding with the Word of God. And you see, in that way, he was avoiding rash speech because he was responding according to knowledge and according to truth. And I think that speaks well of the man, and it certainly ought to be commended to us. And fourthly, your speech is rash when it lacks self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. But here again, we can go to the book of Proverbs, go back a little bit to chapter 10 and verse 19. When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 16, a fool's vexation is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. And what that's saying there, a fool's vexation is known at once, it means he doesn't have any self-control. You who have children, or you who are associated with children, you have no trouble when your children are infants knowing when they're displeased. They just start hollering and screaming, and they let you know. And you can tell the difference between a cry that's just an uncomfortable cry and a cry that's a demanding cry. That's because children, and all of us when we're born, are fools. Our vexation is known at once. We have no self-control. But as we grow older, we expect to develop some self-control. I think now of the things that I do to myself, and you men and you women know too. Stop and think about the ways you go about your business and you hurt yourself today. And basically, you just grit your teeth and you carry your thumb into the other room and put a Band-Aid on it. Yet I can remember as a child just running around hollering and screaming, jumping up and down, and the things that I don't think much about today. What's the difference? Self-control. And that's what we need, but our speech is rash. And that self-control, according to Galatians chapter 5, is a fruit of the Spirit. And so we need to have that fruit. So identify the components of rash speech. And then thirdly, contemplate the damage that is done by rash speech. It wounds the hearers. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword. And I want you to notice something here, that speech can be cutting. In fact, the Word of God is described as being living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting and dividing even to the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The Word of God does that. But the difference is, the difference between sword thrusts and the precise cutting of a surgeon's scalpel. Okay? That's the difference. A surgeon's scalpel can bring healing, but the thrusts of the sword do not. What would you think if you were on the operating table and weren't all the way under, and Jack Rutledge came out with one of those great big samurai swords and started going around like this? Now just hold still here. I think I can get it. I don't think we would be real pleased with that. But on the other hand, with the scalpel, we have some comfort in the fact that he's going to cut what needs to be cut and not cut what doesn't. And we need to contemplate the damage that is done by rash speech. The Scripture describes it as a fire, as a world of iniquity. I don't know whether you've ever been in places where fire has ravaged, has gone through a forest. I've mentioned this before, but I will never forget going over to the home of one of our parishioners out in Tujunga, California. And we had some friends who lived across the street from a Well, basically, it was a mountainside, and they called us in the middle of the night because they had they were having weather like we've been having here. And of course, California is much drier anyway, and there was a forest fire that was coming, and they were asked to evacuate their home. So we went over and we picked up some of their things and threw it into our car and took them over to our home. And as we were loading up the last of their belongings they were going to take with us, there was just a little spark that we could see on the edge of the hill. And as we walked out to the car, the wind came up, and in the time that I'm telling you to take it, that whole mountainside was engulfed in flames. It was just gone. It was the most incredible thing that I've ever seen. And that's what your speech is like. It starts out as just a small ember, but when it's all over, it can destroy a whole mountainside. You see, rash speech does several things. It hinders reconciliation. When you are in some type of a debate with someone else and you speak rashly as opposed to giving a soft answer which turns away wrath, what happens is you can never get your point across. Rash speech is not listened to. Now, maybe if you're telling the truth, it ought to be. But rash speech does not solve problems. It complicates them. And that's damaging. When your speech ought to be used to bring reconciliation and truth, rash speech diminishes the possibilities for that reconciliation. Rash speech is that which discourages the soul. In the advice and the counsel, in the command, rather, to fathers in Colossians, it tells us, fathers, don't you take the wind out of your children's sails. That's basically what it says. Don't take the wind out of your sails. Now, he's not telling us not to correct our children, but he's telling us when you correct them, don't you discourage their souls. And I think someone has described it in this way. You are indeed to break their will. They are to bow their will to you, but you're not to break their spirit. You aren't to crush them underfoot. You are to break their will, but you aren't to destroy them. And rash speech discourages the soul and creates a sense of helplessness in us. I don't know whether you have heard it, and I have, and I'm not going to go so far as to say that people ought to be arrested and imprisoned for this kind of thing. I don't know, with regard to child abuse. But have you ever heard something in a supermarket where you've heard someone say to their child, "You are the stupidest thing I've ever seen," or something like that? And you know, I have to say that I have used speech like that, and it's unfortunate. But that's not the type of thing. Why not rather go to say and deal with the event and the particular of it, rather than that speech which discourages the soul? And the other thing about speech, that the damage that is done by it, is that it can never be undone. It can be forgiven, but it can never be undone. It's like trying to unring a bell. You know, it can't be done. Once it's said, it's over. And I want you to remember, I want you to think of those things, because God wants you to avoid every form of sinful speech. And you do that by considering the real possibility and your proneness to it. And you identify the components. And I didn't touch on all of them. There are other things that we could have. But you say, what is it that causes me to speak rashly? And what is it that causes my speech to be like the thrust of a sword? And you deal with those things. And then you contemplate the damage that is done by it, so that you might avoid it in the future. But you don't just put off, you also put on. And the time is fleeing here, but I do want to go ahead with this. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I think we would be better off if we stopped right here, and we'll pick it up next week, if you don't mind spending another week on this. I want to come back, and we'll finish this up next time, and we'll conclude with the hymn. But this is part of that which the Lord tells us, that we're to put off the old man with the lusts of deceit. And next time we'll consider the putting on. And I know I'm spending a lot of time on speech, but I'm doing so because I don't think there is any sin that so plagues the church and so damages the work of the kingdom among God's people than the sins of the tongue. And also, it is not something that we can just deal with once and say, well, that's it, I've taken care of that, and now I'm set until God takes me home. something that you and I will wrestle with for the end, till the end of our lives. So may God be pleased to convince and convict us of our harmful speech, which is like the thrusts of a sword. And may He grant to us the grace to use our speech for healing. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before You this evening, confessing indeed that there is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of the sword. And we confess before You, Father, that that one is us, each of us as individuals. And oh, how we need Your grace. Oh, how we need Your convicting Spirit to make us aware. How we need the power of Your Spirit to give us that self-control and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, and indeed self-control against which there is no law. Father, we beg that You will grant to us the ability to give thought to our speech, to couch it in terminology that would not be cutting and destructive, and that You will remind us, O Lord, of the ways in which we have been the recipients of that speech which is wounded, and how we can compare and contrast that to those who have come to us and, yes, spoken things that we did not want to hear, but we knew to be the truth and knew was spoken to us in love. For You tell us that we are to speak the truth in love. Grant then, Father, that You will grant us that ability, that we might avoid every form of sinful speech, and that You will likewise grant to us the grace to be instruments of healing to the praise and glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Let's conclude our worship this evening by turning in our hymnals to hymn 335. This doesn't particularly have anything to do with the theme of the message, except to say that if we ask indeed and if God is pleased to abide with us, then we shall have our speech seasoned with salt. Let's sing together hymn 335, "Abide with Me, Fast Falls the Eventide." Let's stand as we sing.
With me above. shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's strange shadows flee. In life, in death,
receive now the benediction of your God. And now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.